Kof Zion Shvat, Tuesday the 28th of January, for Bianchi Wiesenfeld, box with a hole.
It's not a pushka, and it's not a din in Tuman Tara, as Alan speculated. Approximately four weeks ago, my grandson Ephraim Wittenberg was bar mitzvah, and he had the schus to inherit my father's tefillin, which we gave to a sofer to renovate. The sofer said that the parshiyos were exceptionally beautiful, they need nothing doing. The batim he would refurbish and restore to their original pristine condition. He got new ritzuos, and he got the new boxes to cover the tefillin to protect them. He brought me the tefillin, and he complained that the secondary box over the shel yad, which we call the box with a hole, if you like, yeah, that was too large. It's this one here, for those of you who are listening on Koil Haloshen. It's this box over here. Yeah, he complained it was too large. He brought it to me. I added a bit of felt on the inside, and we made it fit. But then he asked me, he said, tell me, Zaidi, he says, what's the purpose of this box, the one with the hole? So I said to him, it's obvious, it's there in order to protect your tefillin, so that the paint shouldn't rub, and in particular, that the edges and the corners should remain sharp and square. Fine. So then he said to me, does this remain permanently on, or do I take it off sometimes? Do I keep it on during the bracha or not? So I said, listen here, I'm your Zaidi, and I've been laying tefillin for almost 47 years, and I don't know. I said, I don't know. I don't take it off. Right? This stays on my tefillin almost all the time. I rarely take it off. Yeah. So I said, I don't know. I said, and then he asked me, why is there a big hole on the top? So I said, well, probably so that you can see the tefillin through it. But that seems, you know, like probably. Fine. We left it at that. Of course, he went to complain to his father, my son-in-law, that Zaidi doesn't know how to tefillin. We're going to come to that. That's today's discussion, okay? So, and my son Yehuda came to me a couple of days later, and he said, look in the Piskei Tshuvas in Siman of Zayin, there's a lot of discussion about this box. And that was really the springboard for this shiur. As many of you know, today's my father's second yahrzeit, and I think it's a schus for his neshama that we should discuss a shaila that's arisen from the wearing of his own tefillin by his grandson. And hopefully our limud, and maybe we'll perform the mitzvah with more understanding tomorrow morning, will be a schus for Ovi Mori, what? His great-grandson? Yes, you're right. Absolutely, great grandson, yes? And it should be a schus for his neshama, Leila Nishmas Ovi Mori, Reb Yitzchak Ber Rebbe Yaakov Zecharonu Livracha. Today is also the first yahrzeit of my mother-in-law, Moraz Chava Dvarei Basar Reb Simcha Yisrael, and this limud is also amakdish this year to Leila Nishmas as well. I was also merited to be zoicha to a simma min hashamayim, a sign from heaven, that I was preparing the shiur along the right lines. Last week I had the schus to be in Yerushalayim, and I was free of some of the tirdus, some of the pressures of work here in London. I was able to sit down in the Beis HaMedrash in Gan Hegula, for those of you who know it, and to prepare this shiur to be learning these in Yonim. And during the course of the afternoon, I decided that I would like to go out for a coffee. There's a Kavashtiebel Dalton at the side. And for those of you who know, there's a Beis HaMedrash at the back called Chazon Peretz, like a second smaller Beis HaMedrash, which they use for Minyonim, etc., etc. Outside that Beis HaMedrash, they have shelves with Sforim for sale. And what you have is, you have a pile of Sforim, let's say the sefer is called Ayeles HaShacha or something, and there's a pishka hanging underneath, a box underneath it, and you take the sefer, it says the price on it, it's 20 shekel, and you take the sefer and you leave the money inside the box. And there are various forim which are always there, they're usually quite reasonably priced. And whilst I was there, I walked past it for the coffee, and I noticed that there was something else being sold alongside the sforim, which also had a pishka underneath it, and they said, you can buy the new advanced superior cover for your tefillin here for 20 shekel. And it's called the kisu yad, the covering of the shel yad. This is it, I'll take it out in a minute. I bought one. It's even got the shtickle Torah on it, which is half of this shiur, yeah, with the Mara Mekoymus. And what it says is, it's got three echsherim, and it says here, this product overcomes all the problems that we're going to discuss in this shiur about this box with a hole. So let's have a look. Just out of interest, if any of you need the Machairis afterwards, if anybody wants the Mara Mekoymus, I can give you. But most of it comes from the Mara Mekoymus I got was from the Piskei Tshuvas, from the Yalkut Yosef in Simen Chofei, and the Oitzros Yosef in Simen Yud Dalet. So, first question we're going to discuss is, do the tefillin need to be covered, or should the tefillin be exposed? So first of all, we deal with the tefillin shel Rosh. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kisovoi, that the nations of the world will see that the Shem of Hashem, the name of God, is upon you, and they will fear you. So the Gemara says in Menachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Eilu Tefillin Sheberosh. When the Goyim will see that you are wearing Tefillin Sheberosh, Tefillin Sheberosh, then they will fear from you. But the Mefarshim say, because the Tefillin Shel Rosh contains two out of the three letters of Hashem. You've got the Shin on the top of the Bais, you've got the Dalad on the Kesher, therefore that's the Shem Hashem, Nikro Olecho. The Yud is on the Shel Yad, as we know. In Shulchan Aruch, Simachov Zayin, Sifalev, says the Mechaba, Tefillin Shel Rosh, Toiv Li Yoisom, Guluyim Vedirim. It's correct that the tefillin shel Rosh, right, says, V'roch al ha'maris, they shall see, therefore the tefillin have to be visible. And therefore, he says that they should, and the Mishnah Berurah adds, V'gam ha'kesher, yeh megula lechatchila. Lechatchila, one should see the kesher as well, for the reason that we just gave, so that you see the shin and the dalad, v'yoru mimeko. Out of interest, it's Kedai will be able to explain in a minute why the Mechaber uses a double loshen. Why does he say that the Tefillin Shel Rosh have to be Guluyim, exposed, Venirim, and visible? What's he trying to say? Every word of the Mechaber is precise, every word of the Mechaber has a meaning, and we'll be able to explain that in Yitzchem within the next 5 minutes. What about the Tefillin Shel Yad? The Tefillin Shel Yad, the Pasuk says something else. The Pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Bo, V'hoyo l'cho l'ois al yodcho. There shall be a sign l'cho for you. Says the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin Omud Beis. L'cho l'ois, there shall be a sign for you. V'loi la'acherim l'ois. And there shouldn't be a sign for others. There are three pshotim in the Mefarshim of what it means l'cho l'ois v'loi la'acherim l'ois. One pshat is that it should be a private sign for you. In other words, it should be covered over, so that only you can know that this ois is on your hand. That's one pshat which is given in a number of things. For instance, the Shari Tshuva B'Shem HaLavush says the B'Shem HaLavush, that therefore you have to cover the tefillin shel yad when you're wearing it, because it's the chol la'ois v'loi la'acherim la'ois. Others say, no, it doesn't mean that. All it means is that you should put it in a place which is normally covered, in a private place, so to speak, in B'mokim HaMechusa, but not that it has to be physically covered at the time. It's just directing you which part of the body to put it on. You put it on a place that's normally covered with a sleeve. The third pshat says that it says l'chol la'ois v'loi la'acherim la'ois is simply saying that it has to be l'chol la'ois, that it should be actually physically on the skin, and that there should be a chatzitza. There's discussion about that. There's a very interesting Torah Tamima on the Pasuk there, if anybody wants to look it out. There's also a Zaitiga, a separate thing, which has nothing to do with the Drosha, which is the Inyan of Tznius. This is mainly Alpinista, that the Arizal brings down, the Birkei Yosef Paskim Shem the Arizal, that one should cover it in order not to be exposing that part of the arm, which is usually covered, Al Tznius. So we have various Pshotim, and according to those Pshotim, you would either say that you have to cover the Tefillin, when you're wearing the tefillin shel yad, or that you don't need to. And that's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch actually says nothing about it, but the Ramor there in Simen Chof Zayin adds to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said that you have to expose the tefillin shel Rosh, says the Ramor, over shel yad, ein lahakpid. He says, by the shel yad, you don't need to be makpid. Because of these different shotim, one doesn't need to be makpid, imheim galuyim oy mechusim. And as I mentioned before, the Shari Tshuva b'shem alavush, the Shari Tshuva in the name of the Vush says that they should be covered in order to be mekayim l'chol la'ois v'loy l'acheim la'ois. The Birkei Yosef, alpi the Arizal says, and this is the Minig of Sfardim, that one should cover with a talus, one should cover over one's hand when you're putting on the tefillin. Again, that's mainly to do with tznius. These are things which are not to do with Torah Hanigleh, but more like Torah Hanista. In fact, it's very easy to remember. Alpi Torah Hanigleh, they can be revealed, and alpi Torah Hanista, they should be concealed. Okay. So far, let's have a look at the halacha about the kisui. So, the halacha is as follows, that obviously, as we said, the tefillin shel rosh are exposed, the tefillin shel yad can be exposed or can be covered. There is an inyan not to make a hefsek, not to make a break in time, an unnecessary break in time or a physical hefsek itself, between the hanocha of the shel yad and the shel rosh. The hanocha of the shel rosh should follow the shel yad as soon as possible. Therefore, avada for the Sfaradim, who only make one bracha lehoniach tefillin, and the holniach tefillin goes on the shel yad and on the shel rosh, avada for them, they have to do it as quick as possible. But even for us, the Ashkenazim, who say two brachas, afal pikein, it's brought down in the halacha, all the poskim bring it, that you should put on the shel rosh as soon as possible after the shel yad. Ad kedei kach, the Tur Shulchan Aruch says, you probably all know this, but, you know, think about it, that why do we put on the shel yad, and we don't tie the retuas around the fingers, and then we put on the shel rosh, and then we go back and finish off the shel yad? Says the Tur Shulchan Aruch, because of hefsek. The tying around the fingers, the retuas, is not ma'akiv. Masha enkein, the putting on the shel rosh, that's part of the mitzvah. Therefore, what I do is I put the shel yad on, I make sure it's secure, then I put my shel rosh on straight away, and then I can go back afterwards and I can put on the, I can finish off tying the shel yad around, the retuas of the shel yad around my fingers. So there you've got a clear ayah that even what we do is in order to minimize hefsek. Therefore, say the poskim as well, as follows. Everybody pulls their sleeve up, if they're wearing a sleeve, in order to put on the shel yad. When do you pull your sleeve down? So the poskim say as follows, that if you were to pull your sleeve down between the hanocha of the shel yad and the hanocha of the shel rosh, then you're making an unnecessary hefsek. Why waste time pulling your sleeve down when you could already be putting on your tefillin shel rosh? Therefore they say that you shouldn't do that. What you should do is, you should leave your sleeve up, so to speak, until after you put on the shel rosh. And after you put on the shel rosh, then you should... Well, they bring a raya from the tour that we just said. They said pulling your sleeve down can't be more important than tying the retuas around your fingers. And if you have to wait till after Hanocha Shel Rosh to finish off the retuas around your fingers, then Kol Shekein pulling the sleeve down will not be as important. If you are a Talmid of the Shari Tshuva B'Shem, the Levush, in fact, if you want to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of L'chol L'Ois V'Loi L'Achem L'Ois, that you feel that is the pshat in the posuk, and therefore you have to, als chiyuv, to cover over your arms, then there is discussion in the poskim as to whether you say that becomes a chelik of the mitzvah of Hanocha Shel Yad, to cover them over, because I'm being bekarim of mitzvah l'chol lois v'lo l'achem lois. Therefore there is yeshal milis mark to pull down, they say, at least one sleeve, just a little bit, so to speak, not your shirt and your jacket, or your shirt and your jumper and your jacket, but just to pull down one sleeve over, if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah l'chol lois v'lo l'achem lois. You could argue that's not a hefsek, because it's a chelik of the mitzvah, according to that shot. It's not ma'akev in the mitzvah.
It's not.
Yeah, but the chiyuv deraisa is to put on your shel yad and the shel rosh. And once you.
The reason we break is in order to hurry up the shel rosh.
That's what the Torah Shulchan Aruch says. The Torah says that. There may be other reasons. There might be reasons, al pi nista, etc. But that's what the Torah gives as the reason for it. Sorry?
Putting down the sleeves
to secure it, we'll see, we'll come to that. About securing it, we'll come into that in a minute. Okay. There's a very interesting shaila about kissing the tefillin shel yad after you've put them on, or kissing the shel rosh before you put them on. When you take them out of the box, some people give it a kiss before they put on the shel rosh. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on the subject in Igros Moshe, Chelik Dalet Orachaim Simon Yud. Take a note of the reference, because I haven't looked it up yet, so I'm not sure what he says. Okay, so the choice of words I mentioned before that the Mechaber said about the Shel Rosh is very precise. He said they have to be nirim, they have to be visible, and they have to be guluyim, exposed. And he was very, very precise in that. Because as follows, there is the Mechaber wants to be meramis tas as follows. That even if, besides the fact that it says Varo Kolamu Es Kishem Hashem Nikro Lecho, that someone who is viewing the tefillin from the outside would have to be able to see them, there is a completely extra inyan, if you like, an extra inyan of the tefillin being exposed to the atmosphere. the tefillin being exposed. That means that even if somebody, the example they give is, even if somebody was in a bais ofel, he was wearing his tefillin and he's in a dungeon in pitch darkness downstairs and there's nobody else in the room, so therefore the tefillin can't be seen by anybody. Afal pikein, there is an inyan that where he's wearing his tefillin, they must not be covered, even though we're not talking about an onlooker looking from the outside, we're looking about the tefillin from the inside being exposed. Where do we get that from? Is as follows. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah says that, the Mishnah is speaking about the Zokin Mamre, a rebellious Talmud Chochom. The Torah tells us that a person like that could be Chayav Misa if he argues with Divrei Chazal, or he argues with the Beis Din HaKodesh Shabbat Yerushalayim, and he paskens for the Tzibur, halachas which are connected the Divrei Chazal or the Beis Din HaKodesh. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ho'oime ein tefillin. This Zokei Mamre says that we don't have to keep the mitzvah tefillin. There's no mitzvah tefillin anymore. Tefillin's been abolished. The halacha is he's not a Zokei Mamre. Why? Because, yeah, potter, why? Dezil koi berafu. Anybody can see in the Torah that there's a mitzvah tefillin. So nobody's going to listen to him. All you have to do is look in the Torah. But when he gives an opinion about Divrei Chazal, then people might listen to him, but they might follow him. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the example the Mishnah gives is, Ho'oime chomesh toitofois. He says that in the tefillin sharosh, there should be five boxes. There should be five boxes side by side, instead of the four that we have. L'hoitziv al divrei chachomim, then he's chayev. The Gemara discusses the Inyan, and the Gemara says, we're talking in a situation where he started off with a kosher sharosh. He started off with a kosher pair of tefillin, a kosher set, a tefillin sharosh, and the bais was kosher because it had four compartments. He then attaches another bais to the side to create a fifth one. Says the Gemara, what's the problem with that? What's the problem that he's now puzzling the tefillin which were previously kosher by adding another bais to the side? Says the Gemara, Omer Ebzeira, bais chitzoin, she'ena roya esu'avir, posel. What he's doing effectively is he's covering over one side of the exposure of the tefillin. The tefillin had four boxes, therefore one side, let's say with a shein, yeah, would be exposed. He puts another tefillin alongside, another box alongside. He's now covered one entire side of the tefillin. And that is the problem, says Reb Zeira, that by skitchen she'ena roya esu'avir is posel. The Rambam brings down this halacha in Hilchos Mamrim, and he says that if he made b'tchilo dalet kil choson, first he made four correctly, four boxes, v'achkach yovi chamishi v'idabek b'chitzoin, and he attaches it, he sticks it to the external, sh'abay sachitza she'en aroya sa'avir, is posel. There's another Gemara that says, if somebody wants to be mahadar in his tefillin, so he wants to have his tefillin gold-plated, then the halacha is that it's osur for the same reason, because the bias is not roya es avir oilam. The bias is not exposed to the atmosphere. So we've got two diukim here for the moment. One is that he's covered an entire side. It's logical to assume, although it's not vadai, that the extra bias that he put alongside was the same size as the other bias, and therefore he's covered over a complete side. And also the lashon of the Rambam that we said, that he has to stick it, v'dabik. And we'll come to that in a toisus that we're going to learn now. The Gemara says in Menachas Daf Lamed Hei that the ma'avarta de tefillin is halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. And the Gemara and the Poskim clear, what is the ma'avarta? We normally understand the ma'avarta to mean the rear part of the base of the tefillin, where the ritzua actually passes through the middle of it. That's the way we understand ma'avarta, miloshen ovar, that something passes over it. The Tosfos has three pshatim in ma'avarta, and in the third pshat, Tosfos says as follows. It's talking about something else completely. Tosfos says that there was a minhag to pass a ritzua ketano, another strap, over the top of the bias of the sheliad, in order to hold it down, which is what you mentioned, yeah? In order to hold it down, right, they would attach, in other words, when I put my tefillin sheliad on my arm, then it's held down at the top by the ritzua, but in theory, it can sort of bounce up at the bottom. So the Sfaradim have the minhag today as well. I watch them, that they actually bring the ritzua of the tefillin over the base at the bottom edge. And that way they secure it at the top and at the bottom to hold it down so that the tefillin are held to the skin at the top and at the bottom, and not that they're held at the top only and then they can sort of lean upwards. So the Sfardim have that minhag. I'm not sure, Tosfos seems to have something slightly different. I'm not sure whether Tosfos is speaking about the ritur of the tefillin coming over the bais, or that there's another ritur, a separate strap over the bais, but clearly they had some sort of a ritur which was going over the top of the bais, so it's going up one side, over the top, and covering down the other side, and then around the arm underneath, in order to hold the shaliyad down. Says Tosfos, you'll say to me, but he's covering part of the surface of the tefillin. The tefillin are partly concealed because this ritur is passing over them. Says Tosfos, there's three reasons. Says Tosfos says one reason, which is the same as the Rambam, that this ritur is not attached, it's not stuck to it, it's only temporary. The second reason Tosfos gives is, he brings the Tshuvas HaGaonim, that it could be that the problem of covering over the bias is only with the Shel Rosh. Because we only learnt about it that the Zokeh Mamre attaches a fifth bias to the Shel Rosh. There's nothing mentioned there about the Shel Yad. So it could be the Shel Yad Bechlal is not a problem of Roya Pnei Avir. The Roya Pnei Avir is only a problem by Shel Rosh. And the final thing that Tosfos says, which is again logical, is that Ein Horatzur Mechaseh Kol HaBayis. Right, the bias is not completely covered. There's a strap passing over it, but you can see it on either side. You can see it in the other parts of the bias is visible. Therefore, Tosfos says that this isn't a problem of Roya Pnei HaBayis, that the avir of the olam it's not exposed. So, if we now analyze our box of the hole, what do? We take a cover like this, and we have it over the bias. So we've got a nice hole in the top, which is quite big. Although when I was younger and I got my first set of tefillin, the hole was much smaller. But these are quite big. But on the other hand, you are completely covering two sides, for sure. And maybe sort of 90% or 80% of the other two sides. The sides of the bias are almost completely covered. Two sides of the bias are completely covered. So according to the Rambam and the Tosfos, you don't seem to have a problem, because it's not stuck. But some of the Mefarshim say that it could be that if you never move it, that it would be regarded as if it was stuck. If you leave it there for years and years and years, and it remains in position, then that could be regarded, it's a chashash, let's say. Let's say not a bit, although there's no glue, it's not actually physically attached to it, and it's slidable off, but if you never move it, maybe that's a chashash of dovuk. That's... Pardon? One second. According to the Tosfos and the Rambam, yeah? According to the Tosfos B'Shem the Goyim, it wouldn't be a problem Bechlal, because it's no problem covering the Shel Yad, only the Shel Rosh is a problem. And according to the Tosfos and Menachos, you can discuss it, you can clear. Tosfos said it's not a problem because you can see most of the bias, but there, with the Ritzur going over the top, you could see probably 90% of the bias. Maybe it's covering... It's actually attached, or it's actually sitting on the part of the top of the bias, and the two sides you can see either side of the ritzur plus underneath the ritzur. So it could be that it would depend on the shear. So now we could have a problem. We could have a problem if you say that you're not allowed to cover. If you say it applies to the shel rosh. If it applies to the Shel Yad as well, and you're covering over a large proportion, then it could possibly be a problem. So therefore, the Piskei Tshuvos, which my son-in-law Yehuda mentioned, brings down a long list of poskim who didn't like this box, who said that you shouldn't use one, you shouldn't use it bichlal, you shouldn't cover over your tefillin. There's a long list of them brought down in Piskei Tshuvos, Simcha Chaf Zayin, Sifchof Gimel, if anybody wants to look there. You then look at the Piskei Tshuvos in the next Sif Kotten, and he brings a long list of poskim who held that you should have such a box. And the reason that they say is as follows. We agree that there might be a problem, according to some poskim, using this type of a box. On the other hand, the risk to the square, to the squareness, if you like, of the tefillin, the risk to the damage to the paint. If the tefillin are not square and the paint come off, then it could be the tefillin apostle. Therefore, it's kedai to suffer, if you like, as a sort of cost-benefit, is kedai to suffer a little bit of the poskim who may have a chashash with this sort of a box by protecting your tefillin from the damage so that the batim themselves remain intact and square. So therefore, what they say is as follows. The haskamas of poskim seems to be, and that's the derech ha'olam, I think, they do use the box, but they recommend that b'shas habrocha, you should take the box off, and then you shouldn't return it to the Sheliat until after you've put on your Shel Rosh, in order not to create an unnecessary hefsek. And after that, you should. B'diyevet, if you made a brocha and this is on, it's okay. And lachatchila, even if you don't take it off every day in order to make a brocha, but from time to time take it off, in order that you don't have this problem of regarding it as dovuk, regarding it as attached. Now, after hearing today's shiur, you would think that it's not rocket science that somebody should come up with a new design of a cover for the Sheliat, which would overcome these problems. And it seems to be an obvious step forward. And there, I'd like you to give a very, very warm welcome to this product that I bought in Galigula last week. And this is called the Kisuyat. And what it is a piece of, it's a rubber-like material, and it goes around the top. It stretches, and it fits onto the top of the tefillin sheliat. It exposes it's got a big square hole on the top, so therefore it exposes the vast majority of the top, and it also exposes the vast majority of all four sides. And therefore you get the protection of your tefillin, and it overcomes all the problems that we've been discussing, which might be related to this, and it costs exactly 20 shekel, which is about £3.50 in Eretz Yisrael in Ganigula. Don't know the price here, and I haven't got shares in the company. Okay? It has a hechsher of the Eidah Charedis, Rav Osher Zelig Weiss, and Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who's today the Rishon Lezion, who praised the design, and they say specifically that there was no need to remove this B'Shas HaBrocha even. So therefore, Lemaskona, if you've got the old style, then the best thing would be to take it off B'Shas Brocha and to return it afterwards. The least that you should do is that from time to time, just remove the kufsa, remove the box, and then return it afterwards. And Lechatchile would see that one of the best things that you could possibly do is invest in one of these. Shkoyach, thank you for listening.